Blog Talk Radio.
Maim rabim lo yachlu lechabot. Maim rabim lo yachlu lechabot. Et ahava.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Art of Seduction. Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. You missed the obvious cutoff point.
I did. Well, I didn't know I was going to tap. I didn't realize that was coming. Otherwise, I would have.
No, I'm talking about the silence. The silence. I didn't expect it either, but that was the moment. Okay. So how you doing?
We're doing pretty well, I think. You know, it's poetry. It looks like a going to be a fun night, you know. Might just be you and me, but I'm got my fingers crossed and my toes, in case anybody's wondering about that.
No, poets are passionate people, you know. So how can they resist sharing their passion, their fervor, the sensual and the erotic? It's stronger than they are. They will come, I think.
Well, I hope that those folks are listening to you. Maybe you'll seduce them into showing up. But it's
walk
it's
up a gangplank and pull aboard.
It's a Wednesday, unlike every other. You know, we have wonderful warm poetry tonight. I took a weird twist on this contest for tonight because I put up some Rumi quotes, which are not usually what you would put on the Art of Seduction. But I think paired up with the one image I put up, I think that they really could go places. So I was happy to see we had such a great turnout.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was fun. You and I mean, you know, we did that piece, and I think that we could kind of put it together, you know. You look at the quote, you look at the image, and you go, wait a minute, how can I make that happen? You know, it's always intriguing to see what you get from an idea like that, you know. Well, I don't know, but So I guess the image, I thought they were pretty good. The image, the quotes I liked very much, you know. We had the one that was, the breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you, don't go back to sleep. I thought that was a nice one. And then out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there's a field, I'll meet you there. And I think that's another good one, you know. And then close your eyes, fall in love, stay there. Yeah, and I think that's a nice one as well. You know, there's so many possibilities in the quote. Where to go. Well, the image, I'm not going to sit here and describe it to you, but you can take out the context.
Yes, ma'am.
Set up. It's a nice image. Yeah, so they all kind of pull together nicely if you need them to. Yeah. So, yes, it's going to be a good night of poetry. So I guess maybe I should be quiet and get started.
Absolutely.
Not exactly sure, you know, how else to go about it. So let me hit the button. Over here. And I'm going to hold off on Randy G first because sometimes he'll call in if he puts a poem up. So I'm going to hold off and see if he might call in for it. But I'm going to put the first piece up for you, Laurent. And this is a piece by, how did I get there? That was you. This piece is by Fabrice. And it's called As on the Stump of the Forest by Fabrice. Here we go. Whenever you're ready.
And, just got to refresh.
Sure.
Here you go. As on this stump of the forest. Of the goddesses and mortals, when they display their naked charms, Greek sculptors unfeather the rings of the dove, of the Venuses. Under their chisel flies and falls the soft mantle that covers them, and on her chilly nest the dove trembles downless and featherless. I forgive you, O great pagans, the Greeks taking from the outlines. Excuse me. You know what? I'm going to start again with your permission.
Okay.
Thank you. Of the goddesses and mortals, when they display their naked charms, Greek sculptors unfeather the wings of the doves of the Venuses. Under their chisel flies and falls the soft mantle that covers them, and on her chilly nest the dove trembles, boundless and featherless. I forgive you, O great pagans, the Greeks taking from the outlines the fine cotton they're covered with, stripped love of all its mysteries. than our painters, steering canvas like ancient marbles of Paros, mow on gorgeous, veilless bodies, the grass where Uranus's sun sits. Yet never a Christian beauty has given her a hidden treasure, an antique Athenian tour, with lamplight in hand, like Psyche. In the sun, shamelessly pulling the sheet of the slumbering blonde, like a companion of Jason, you would have found the golden fleece. And the brunette is always sure to carry around her finger for that devil La Fontaine, the hair that nothing makes straighter. Also, I love your courtesans, your muses and nymphs, O Titian, king of warm and diaphanous shades, son of the Venetian heavens. Underneath the purplish courtine, they bravely spread and display in its matte and golden paleness a superb bod where naught deceives. A carpet of silken shadow velvets upon their polished flank that shapely and harmonious span that the groin traces with its folds. We see under ivory fingers naive detail that we adore, germinate the blonde or black moss with which Cyprus covers her mouth. And the gallery of Florence, the shocked song displays Venus, immersing with indifference her slender fingers in her mouth. Lord, in Venice, my gondola, worth of you cradled a body with a superb flank where freezes enough to make the king's order. To make her beauty more complete, let me do it, the great old man, changing my lute for your palate like a transposition of art. And on this stump of the forest, on the whiteness of this fair bod, I love to see this tawny stain take on the burnished tone of gold. And reminding, thus positioned, love on her mother, blumbering, shadowing with his pearly head the rounded breast she hath concealed. In a wavy and russet silk, the fruit of love laughs in her eye, like a peach under the bushes of a mysterious paradise. Hesperides, apples, authentic, crested with gold, luxurious fleece, that Alcide would have wished to pick, and that made Jason sail the sea. On your finest and ringed yarn, that art always wanted to raise, O silky and feminine down, receive my verse like an embrace. For it takes ancient oblivions and modesty of muted times to avenge in plastic stanzas, O great Venus, your sacred mouth. End poem.
Great read, Laura. Wow, what a piece here. I thought it was just beautifully penned and loaded with awesome imagery. All kinds of wonderful stanzas throughout the whole poem. I love the references to the gods and the way he took that path throughout this piece. Just wonderfully done. I was looking for a stanza, but I was trying to listen to the next one you read, so it was really difficult. You know, so much happening. And each stanza was just so well written that, you know, to pick one, it seems unfair in my head, you know. I really enjoyed it very much.
All right, we'll absolve you of having to pick something.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many stanzas that I could go, well, you know, this one's wonderful and that one's wonderful. You know, I mean, I could just sit and reread them, you know. But just a wonderful, wonderful piece. And you know, what an incredible take on the prompt. Absolutely. I have to assume, you know, from what I read, that it's for prompt one, which is the image of the woman on the tree stump. Just incredible. What did you think, Alon?
I thought that if you give me one more of this length, you'll be reading the rest by yourself tonight. This one's never had. Yeah, I'm just teasing because remember the poem I read the other night?
I know.
The Long One by Ben Hart. Well, this was more of the same. It's so good, you know, it's so well written. And you want to try and put a little bit of feeling into the read to reward both the audience and the poet. And it takes a little bit more. I like Fabrice. I'm amazed by the picture, because if that is him, he has the looks, hair, the attitude of a star. I mean, look at the guy. And the name, Fabrice, very, very nice. And his writing is complex. It's layered. His use of language, it threw me several times, the way things are constructed. There are a couple of places where I could have used some punctuation. I wasn't sure which way it was going. Like you said, there's so many beautiful stanzas in this.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I liked the best was, I gotta get it was, there we go. Hesperides apples, authentic, crusted with gold, luxurious fleece, that Alcide would have wished to pick. That made Jason sail the sea. You got Jason and the Argonauts, right? Search for the golden fleece.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure who Alcide is. I was going to look it up, but I just didn't have time. Hesperides, and I'm ashamed to admit, I've forgotten which individual Hesperides is in the pantheon of mythology, but I do know that there's some solar objects named after Hesperides. It's called V. Hesperides. At any rate, he writes this pact with, what am I going to say, pact with a little Easter egg that you need to uncover and you see what he's trying to say. It's really something. I enjoyed it. And it really requires two, maybe three reads just to do it justice. It's length. Complexity,
and that's what happens when you have these longer poems. I mean, you really, it takes you a couple of weeks just to absorb it all, so you can kind of get that comment back out. It's a little difficult. Like, I just know that I really liked it. I know I like the sound of it. I know I like each of the stanzas. But as to pinpointing specifically, I'm not that quick on my feet. I'm just not. But definitely a wonderful addition to the show. And a great addition to the contest. So excellent work, Gregory. I want to thank you for sharing that. Absolutely. I'm going to give this a read. Okay. Now I'm going to. I've already done my Decade of the Rosary for this one, so I don't mess it up. For sure. I have to do that. This is Let's Go What's Pink. Let's Go What's Pink. I Live With Mine Forever. In between the right, inside, and left. Sundown, flappers, moon, and angle. Torture is hard, arduous, scarred, tied down and drunk on you, my God. No conquest, non-conquest, debunked and mashed, depressed, fresh triangle. Essential, pure, coiled. Dispense wet lips and moistened stone. Pure native scent. Strong the virgin ties that lie inside each hidden design. Take peace and fun. Which wait in solemn solitude to rectify the magnitude of their time. Imbibe my fair and lovely, imbibe. Bring me into your deep within. Lie with me, a lifetime to be spent in silent, sacred scintillation, content. Reinvent what's spent, advent. Then wake unto the sound, the light beyond. A silken flesh of sacred bone, enthroned upon moist belly's fertile womb. In fullness of the moon, we bear of ancient moon. Too soon, we know the emptiness of flesh consumed. One taste, one touch, one whispered breath, we bear to drink the wind. A sip of whippoorwill, you still fill, you still fulfill, to languish like the moth that break of dawn, rebuke, rescind. Press me like a matted butterfly against your flesh. The priest of silent good. We'll weigh the best and bathe each thought and word to no eye of painted gaze. In forest greens, admit, admit, will lay and slay, display the light's victorious. On satin grass, amongst the lichens vast, two words hold fast. Soft timbrels from the treetops sway to death. So nonetheless, as we condense, earth's great content, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's pass. And follow.
Nice read, my dear.
Well, thank you. But I got stumbled.
I see never liked the stump. And it's a right
yes.
that really explores that picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She takes her time. Imbibe, my fair and lovely, imbibe. Drink me into your deep within. Lie with me, a lifetime to be spent in silence, sacred scintillation, content. Reinvent what's bent, advent, then wake unto the sound, the light therein. You know, she takes the reclining figure of the girl on the stump,
mm-hmm.
and she takes that and doesn't really try to do much with it. It acts like a base for everything that she says all the way through it. And I like that because she's both there, but she isn't there. She gives us a taste of so many other things in this. Press me like a matted butterfly against your flesh. The crush of silent joy will wade and bathe each softened word. No eye of tainted jade in forest streams amidst the mist will lay and splay, display, delights, decoy. She loves to play with words, both alliteration,
yeah.
internal rhyming,
yeah.
end rhyming, near rhyming. She's very clever with her words, and she did a good job here.
Absolutely. She does. She loves the alliteration and the end rhymes and middle rhymes, absolutely, you know, all throughout. Just caught me off guard because, you know, there's so few people that will do something like that. And I'm like, didn't even get two stanzas in. But it was just wonderful. Her imagery was fabulous throughout. And as you said, you know, I think she really drew a lot from the image and, you know, added a lot back to it in some ways. You know, a satin grass amongst the lake and his vast, two words hold fast. Soft timbrels from the treetops sway to bless. Oh, nonetheless, as we condense earth recompense, let's go, let's go, let's go, what's past. You know, I mean, the ending was great. So many great stanzas. This wonderful, wonderful wording and wordplay. So I have to say thank you so much to Deborah for sharing with us. You know, it was a great addition to the contest. And again, to the show, I mean, it was... Just a great piece all the way through. So, nicely done. Yeah, I didn't talk. Okay. Now I can go back to the last. Let me see. I'll tell you what, I'm going to put this one up for you. And this is called Bear at Dawn by Sector Hunter.
Are you making me read again?
Well, we could pull our third person. Pam, would you read this for us? Only kidding.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bear at dawn. As the sun rises, kissing the dew-covered leaves, I open my window, smelling the sweet breeze. A sense of calm washing over. Making my way to the door, nightgown dropping to the floor, making my way into the forest, bare to the world, enjoying nature's calling, swaying in the wind, feeling alive as energy flows, hands roaming a delicate frame, exploring every curve, fingertips teasing heavenly domain as celestial rain begins to fall. Watering Mother Earth in rapturous release before returning home for a midday nap. End poem.
Nice reading.
Jane, would you like to start us?
Why, thanks. Don't mind if I do. I think this was a great combination piece between the two images. The first one being the breeze of dawn has secrets to tell. Don't go back to sleep. And the image of the woman again on the tree stump. And that's how he started this out. As the sun rises, kissing the dew-covered leaves, I open my window, smelling the sweet breeze. You know, and that sense of calm washing over, making way for the door. You know, nightgown dropping to the floor, making my way into the stars. It's intriguing how he went, you know, all the way through like that. And, you know, he just walked his way throughout the poem. He's walking himself into the prompt in my mind, you know. And I think it's clever. The take on it, you know, because the one has you, well, the two images, the quote and the other, have you in the forest to begin with. But this starts before that and walks you into it. And I think that was clever and really well done, you know. And hands roaming the delicate foam, exploring every curve, fingertips teasing heavenly domain, a celestial rain begins to fall. I think it was just a really nice piece. And I think that, God, I had something in my head and it ran out. The imagery was good. I like the imagery in it. And I like the vibe of the piece, because it was soft. It was more relaxed, and it wasn't a bunch of heavy wording, and that I could appreciate, because I didn't think any of this was really on a heavy scale. So thank you very much, Sector Hunter. Great to have you there with us.
Nice comment. Nice comment. Thank you. What I liked about this piece was the attention to both of the images very cleverly worked into the poem. And it kind of proves that you don't need a partner at any given time in order to enjoy some form of sex. I mean, if it's that kind of delicate morning that she describes, smelling the sweet breeze and a sense of calm washing over her, allowing her to remove her clothing, which is kind of a return to nature, you know? I've often wondered what it would be like to walk around my backyard naked. I'm never going to try it, mind you, because the mosquitoes will eat you alive, and there's nothing you want to do in the wintertime. So that's right out. But to find that perfect place to lay down, the stump, and then to delicately pleasure yourself in the same way a lover might, and then return home, for her midday meal, or midday nap, was, I thought, I mean, it was, like you said, it was soft, and a certain delicacy, and without saying much, she made it very, very sensual.
Right, I have to agree, absolutely. I think that, I don't know, I really enjoyed it. And I think that it is a different kind of sensuality because it was one person, it wasn't two. And I think that it kind of just took you down a different path, but beautifully done and very well put together. So absolutely. So thank you so much, Sector Hunter. Great piece, and much enjoyed. Yes. Okay. Oh, I think I'll read the next one, Laurent. What do you think? Or should I give it to somebody else?
Is it a long one or a short one?
Oh, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm just going to grab the next girl to name my read. We'll just take it from there. And this is called When Two Hearts Are Wrong by Jenny the Deep. So here we go. When Two Hearts Are Wrong. Embracing her one last time, holding her into his pounding chest, she cried. It was good at being bad together for so long. Now it's time to break their unsacred bond. Promising each other to meet in their dream and their secret place, wild and free. Never to get caught or play pretend again. Their wrongdoings, they know they need to end. Their love was wrong, but felt so right. Still in love, they don't give up without a fight. Unable to sneak around anymore, they now meet in the middle of Dreamland 4. It's not what they want, but what they need. Only in their fantasy is where their love can be. Every evening when witching hour strikes, in their sleep is where they now kiss all night. And so on.
Nicely done. Thank you so much.
Would you like to start us off, Laurent? I have to do it.
Well, it's so sad when people who are in love have to split up for some reason. Their love is wrong, but felt so right. Still in love, they don't give up without a fight. Unable to sneak around anymore, they now meet in the middle of Dreamland's door. Which is nice, because that's it. It makes this little fantasy piece, meeting it in a dream. It'd be pretty neat if you could do that. Maybe in the future we'll be able to technology, but those strange places. And I like the tone that she has in this. I like the way she constructed it. Kept it fairly short, nice and sweet, 129 words. And in four stanzas, you accomplish what you need. She did. Well, I'd really like to know why they can't stay together.
And I'm looking to see prompt three. What? Prompt three was out beyond ideas of right doing and wrongdoing. There's a field. So I guess, you know, in that respect, since that was the prompt, it's the ideas of wrongdoing, and you have to meet somewhere in the middle. And I guess that's your take on it, which I thought was good, just really kind of well put together, I would say. I like the images throughout. I like the basis of the story. I thought was well done. And I think that the, it was a well thought out piece. Let's put it that way. She came in from a different angle, one that probably, I shouldn't say probably, may not be explored because it's a sensual thing. But, sometimes you just have to go the other way, I guess. And it worked. So it was a clever take on the prompt in 9-10. So nice job, Jenny. Thanks for sharing. Absolutely. All right, I'm coming back to you.
Already?
Tell you what, I'm going to put a random because I don't want to assume that he's going to call in and then get it lost in the shuffle. So that, put that one out.
That's right. You're going to keep me awake, so let's move along.
You're not going to have a chance to fall asleep because, we're coming back to you real quick. This is called Whispers by Randy G.
Whispers. In the early morning hours, I am restless and awake. I toss and turn with an uneasy feeling I cannot shake, covering my head with my pillow. But this is all in vain, failing to get back to sleep. For reasons I can't explain. A breeze is blowing softly. I hear the rustling willows. I feel it must have meaning. So I toss away my pillow, sit on the edge of the bed, wiping sleep from my eyes. Hard to focus on what the gentle breeze says. Is there a message concealed within its soft turning? Perhaps ancient, untold secret need discerning. I must cut myself up and go chasing after the breeze. If I'm lucky, I'll lock its mystery by finding its keys. I know they must be there waiting for me to find them. Then I will open wide the doors from which they stem, learning its secrets as if the breeze whispers in my ear that ancient hidden knowledge you take time to hear in poem.
Nice read, Laurent. Nice read. I like this piece by Randy. I really do. I think that he did a great job with that prompt. The breeze that's on has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. I thought that was really, I just liked the way he addressed it. You know, breezes blown softly. I hear the rustling willows. I feel it must have meaning, so I toss away my pillow. Sit on the edge of the bed, wiping sleep from my eyes. Try hard to focus on what the gentle breeze supplies. I like that. And then, you know, the next stanza down, you know, unlock its mystery by finding keys being the last of the stanza, I thought was pretty clever. Because, you know, sometimes we do have to kind of unlock things before we figure them out. But that last one, I know they must be there waiting for me to find them. Then I will open wide the doors from which they stem, learning its secrets as the breeze whispers in my ear, that ancient hidden knowledge. If you take time to hear. And, you know, isn't that the truth? How many times, you know, things are there. Things are there for our taking, for our grasping, you know, but unless we take that time, you know, to acknowledge it, hear it, you know, pick it up, you know, it's lost. And I like that final line there very much. So, Randy, this is a great poem, and I want to thank you for writing. Randy was the first one to put in on this contest. And I was like, yes. So, all good. And wonderful job, Randy. Wonderful job. Wonderful job. You know, great rhyme. You know, the whole nine yards. It was just really well done. Yeah. Well, what did you think of this poem?
Well, it's hard to dislike, isn't it?
Right.
We are talking about Randy's poem, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I know that.
Absolutely.
I like the stanza, a breeze is blowing softly. I hear the rustling willows. I feel it must have meaning, so I toss away my pillow, sit on the edge of the bed, wiping sleep from my eyes. It's hard to focus on what the gentle breeze supplies. You know, you've just woken up. The wind is bringing you messages. And what are those messages that need discerning? And he's got to get up and find out what it is. He knows that they must be there. And if you manage to learn its secrets, you're going to do something that few people take the time to do. Hear nature in a way that you never heard nature before. I thought it was going to be a woman that he would hear, either her voice or something else that would draw his attention to her. And I'm still wondering whether or not, and that is the message in some way. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think that, as the prompt says, you know, the breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. And I think that, you know, I don't know that he went any deeper than that. I think it was just a matter of listening to his surroundings, what's going on around him, and all of that. I don't know that it references anyone in particular. I think it's just the time to pay attention. It's like stop and smell the roses. You know, it's got that kind of a thing to me. You know, sometimes you just have to stop and absorb what nature is saying to you. And I don't mean literally, because I had to drop a head over me. But, you know, that breeze whispers in my ear. You know, sometimes you just get in tune with Mother Nature and with the world around you. I think that's more or less what this is leaning towards. So definitely really nicely done. It has a gentle vibe to it, which I like a lot. the whole concept central. And the way he wrote it was wonderful. So, yeah, I saw it work. So thank you, Randy. Appreciate it very much. And, great addition to the night. So that means three. So this means it's my turn to read. Already? Yes, already. Okay. Yeah, let me do this one. This is called Gassing the Temptress by Blossom Writer. And I'll give it a read. All right? No sleepy sleepy.
No, I'm right here.
Okay. Okay. Yep, go on. Gassing the Temptress by Blossom Writer. She's a silk spun, morbid moon in January, whisking her life force veil undone, like a fraying sheer cloth to the naked core of her translucidity, where you can only touch the celestial body of her emptiness that hides in the darkness. And color. Yes. Would you like to comment on this?
No, I think I'll pass. Yes, I'll pass. I like this a great deal. I love the way it starts. She is a silk, fun, morbid moon in January, risking her life force, veil untucked, praying sheer claw. That is excellent energy. And it takes us close and takes us far. It establishes time and space. The language used. And I like the celestial body of her emptiness also is very, very good. Although I do imagine that if the poet had wanted to, he could have encapsulated the entire piece. This is normally captured, you know? Well, you get the essence, I should have said.
Yeah.
And the essence of the piece, he captured that very, very well. She captured that very, very well.
Right. I'll agree with that. You know, I did like that first couple lines as well, you know. She is so silk spun, morbid moon in general. Yeah, you know, when you look at the moon, it has that kind of a sheer kind of, like a silk spun kind of effect, I would assume, you know, lighter in areas, darker in areas. That's a clever kind of way to describe that. Whisking her life force and veil undone, like a fraying sheer cloth. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I like that imagery there. And to the naked core for translucidity. Yeah, that's it's just, I don't know, it just has a really great vibe to it, you know, the whole thing. And then, you know, where you could only touch the celestial body of her emptiness. Now, that was kind of like, wow, her emptiness.
That's a deep line, okay. It really is.
Yeah, it really put a different turn on the, what I was thinking above it, you know, and then that hides in the darkness. You know, that's it's pretty intriguing, actually, that she pulled that in there. And I think it was just very nicely put together. So, I really enjoyed it. I have to come back to you next now, though. You ready for it?
Absolutely.
All right. I like your sense of adventure. Go back up.
I am hanging on by my fingernails. I want you to know that.
Good word. Yeah, you're going to like this one. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you this one. Okay.
Did you put it up yet?
No, I just have to find the darn room because I have 15 clips to do. Okay, here we go. This is called The Early Art of Seduction by Big E.
I see it. early art of seduction. I saw a naked wood nymph and felt just like a grub. I crept around behind and struck her with my club, threw on my shoulder, and then back to my cave to bring her back to consciousness. Some warmth slowly gave. My other woman helped her to a bed of fur and straw. We killed a bear to eat that night. Too rude to tell you more. And Paul, that's nice little tongue-in-cheek thing.
I read it, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, I thought it was just the right, you know, kind of touch of humor for, you know, some midpoint section of the night. You know. And
it's that's a great little piece of the rhyme.
Piece for sure. Where was I with that? I crept around behind her and struck her with my club. I threw her on my shoulder and then back to my cage to bring her back to consciousness and let her slowly gaze. I like my other women helped her. Okay. There you go. Teamwork. Teamwork. Can't beat that, right? But, I did get it. I did get a couple out of it for sure. First I looked, I'm like, why is there a caveman on this poem? You know, apparently it's not written to any of my prompts. But I had a good chuckle. So, so thank you, Miss Susan. Much enjoyed. And I gave you a short one. See? Let's see. Oh, my God. I'm going to read this one here by Julie Buck. Okay. Now, Randy, it has said it, and you did read it, and I apologize. See, I had a feeling about that.
Having a hard time hearing you there, Jim.
Yeah. I just was afraid if I let him go, then he wouldn't, you know, because Randy usually comes in one battle.
I like the naked woodman as a beginner, because it does grab your attention right off the bat. And of course, the typical caveman, where you hit on a woman, bring her back to the cave over your shoulder, or drag her back, whatever it is, that image will never go away. You know, so it's hard, I guess, to take something like the caveman. Real serious. But it's nicely done. It was a good, confident poem that told a nice little story that made you smile. The feel-good piece that I really liked.
I have to agree. I thought it was good. It was a nice light spot, you know, where it, you know, wasn't all serious or what have you. So this piece I'm going to put up now is called There Is a Land by Julie Buck. That would be right. Oh, my God. Okay. There is a land, a field, if you will, has no need to judge or to bear into it into you like a drill. Wow. Let's try this again. See, I can't get this stuff coming out in English. There is a land, a field, if you will, has no need to judge or to bear into you like a drill. It's a sacred meadow of dry neutrality where no one is right, no one is wrong. When can we meet there? There's a place, an idea, if you must, where no gavel comes down with a harsh hammering thrust. Say I will not be able to meet you at this land. Every wrong act has a consequence, as does a right. And I cannot condone what people refuse to own, even though they should. But baby, I know of another place we can have some fun. Sound good? And poem.
Nicely read. Nice poem, Julie. I like the way she took the quote with the flowers. Nice. where the page is decorated as well. No, I thought she took the prompt and ran with it very strongly. There is a land, a field, if you will, has no need to judge or to bear into you like a drill. The sacred meadow of dry neutrality. I think so. She caught that. I think that little bit in the prompt, which implies that there's a necessity for this. And I thought she dealt with it very, very well.
Absolutely.
It's, I mean, it's a short piece, but, you know, the main point, I regret to say I will not be able to meet you at this land. Every wrong act has a consequence, as does a right one. But I know of another place we can still have some fun. That's nice.
Right. I liked how I agree with you. I think that... what I got the biggest chuckle is that she talks about the field ever so briefly. You know, there's a couple of stanzas, but, you know, she didn't hit on it a whole lot, just enough. And then she turns to the rest of the baby. I know another place we can have some fun. Like, the heck with all that seriousness. Let's just have a good time. And I thought that was funny because I thought it was a great touch of humor at the very end. You know, what I said was, I like how you sidestepped the field and went for the gusto. You know, really. So.
Yeah, exactly.
had a nice bit of humor to it.
Julie can be quite bold when she wants to be.
Oh, yes. But this was good. It was really good. I had kind of thought to it. Let me see now. I mean, we do this. And let's go. Okay, I'll come back here. Okay, no. So now. I am going to give you one more piece, and we're going to run a couple of, we're going to read one more piece, and then we're going to read our piece, and then we're going to do a couple of audio. I think that'll work. Sound good?
Alrighty.
Righty. Let's see here.
Oh, this is the Spill in the Soup segment, did you say?
Did I who the what?
Did you say this was the Stone Soup segment?
Could be. Could very well be. This is called When You Close Your Eyes by Bookworm Dave, 227. So, Laurent, whenever you are ready.
Oh, you want me to read it again, eh?
Yes, it's your turn.
I'll tell you what. I need to clone myself. That would work.
Well, that would be good. We have three people to read. Absolutely.
When you close your eyes, my prayer for you before you sleep, dream of us. Know deeply the love I have for you. Distance is nothing when I think of you. Closing my eyes, I can see you. Holding my hand, walking along the shore, gazing at the stars. Your eyes sparkle like the stars, making me think of you more. Stars light my night. With a new day, I see your picture, knowing you are so much more than a fantasy, a reality, a soulmate. Maybe is the pain of distance, he with you talking about your dissertation, brains and beauty on you. As you sleep with eyes closed, hope you feel the kiss that lulls you to a gentle sleep. Even as I whisper sweet nothing, sweet feelings. Yes, I love you. Maybe love is never said to you enough. My wish for your sleep, being in peace, being a serenity, lets you go into the night as I gaze at the stars as you. End poem.
Nice read, Laurent. This is a great write by Dave.
Close your eyes, fall in love, stay there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it was a great take on that prompt all the way through. It was a lovely night prayer for the one you love. And he captured the prompt beautifully.
Is Bookworm Dave an older individual, do you know?
I honestly don't know. I have no clue. My only interactions with Dave has been him putting poems into contests and us reading them. But I think they're just so nicely done. really nice. You know, I love this. My prayer for you before you sleep. Stay with us. Know deeply the love I have for you. Distance is nothing when I think of you. Closing my eyes, I can see you. You know, holding my hand, walking along the shore, gazing at the stars. Your eyes sparkle like the stars, making me think of you more as the stars light my night. It's just lovely. It's a lovely thought. You know, that this is what I think of, you know, I think of us holding hands and walking the shore. I think of us gazing at the stars. You know, it's just beautiful, you know. Wonderful thought of another, you know, and the interactions they have with you as a person. I think it's really sweet, you know. And, yeah, I love it. I love it. I love
well,
it.
It's a prayer, right? And prayers are
absolutely.
Like
that. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
I like the line,
yeah.
Maybe is the pain of distance. He with you talking about your dissertation. Brains and beauty are you. And you know,
yeah.
He watches your sleep. And I think that's one of the coolest things that you can do is watch somebody sleep sometimes because they're unconscious. They're completely vulnerable. Anything could happen while you're asleep. So when you sleep, someone else is in the house. It's a level
yeah.
of trust that's established, you know?
Yeah.
I better
true.
Watch out, or his stands on my wish for your sleep, dream and peace, dream and serenity, sitting right in my head, you know what I mean? Could take a
No. Not tonight. I really did like it. The imagery was wonderful. And the thoughts were just great. So I have to say that I really enjoyed it. And Dave, I want to thank you for writing for the contest. I really like this very much. I thought you did a great job capturing that poem. So excellent work. Thank you. Let me see. So I'm going to snag the trip. Oh, it's 11 o'clock. I'm going to do our show with me. Have it smack dab in the middle. Stuck in the middle with you. Ring any bells?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not singing it. So forget it. Let's try. Okay, here we go. And you let me know when you're ready because you're up first.
Oh, that's right. We're going to do our thing. All right. Find it. After a long time of writing very, very little, Dean asked me to collaborate with her on a poem, and I was happy to because she's a good writer, but hasn't written anything in a while. But when she writes, she writes. And she wrote this thing called Meet Me There, to which I contributed. And I will begin. Notes lay quietly, innocent in their white envelopes. This one wanted opening, addressed to me in her cursive hand.
My dearest, I will wait for you in that field where there is no right or wrong, only peace and tranquility. I lie naked and vulnerable on the altar of the tree where we first made love, spreading boughs. I am an offering of peace awaiting your acceptance. Meet me here.
Memory shifts to the curve of her young body, inviting, vulnerable, open to the stars and to me. That night the angels sang and I would hear them again, a choir of forgiveness and need, granting absolution of the skin.
Let your hands anoint me with your forgiving balm, as I absolve you with my sacred holy oils. Speaking only in tongues, our kiss will light the flames, relieving our wounds.
Her words, a gift I want to repay, soft skin to touch and kiss. My tongue is Cupid's arrow hitting its mark. Her form, fair and wonderful, guilt and desire is due, an alchemy of enchantment, ambrosia and aphrodisiac joined as one.
We feel the heat rise up as our bodies touch, letting us indulge in the tranquilities of the flesh. Let our spirits become one in the harmony with each other. Let us drink freely from the elixirs of our desires, allowing us to heal and fall.
Nice job. Nice job. You know, I don't think I told you before, but I really like that line, tranquilities of the flesh, because you wouldn't imagine that it would necessarily bring the kind of tranquility that you need. It would bring rather a strong activity, if you will. So, but it makes absolute sense, because the act, if you will, the aftermath yields that closeness, yields that peace. You know, you've exhausted yourself at something very pleasant, and it works. So I'm glad you squeezed that particular line in there. I'll comment a little bit further, but why don't you say a few things about it?
Well, you know, I have to say, I looked at the two props, the one with the girl on the tree stump, and then the one about the field, and I thought to myself, you know, if you merge those, this could really be something. And I really wanted this piece to come off as, you know, a couple that had a disagreement, an argument of sorts, and that this was a reconciliation. It was her offering herself as, you know, for forgiveness and wanting to extend the olive branch of forgiveness. And I thought that there was a sensual way to do that. And I thought, you know, okay. And then I thought about it a little bit. And all of a sudden, my brain just took off. And trust me, my brain hasn't taken off in a writing position in forever. But really, it's been a long time. You know, and so it felt really good to be able to say, hey, Laurent, I think we can do this, you know, because I knew how – I knew your voice and my voice and how it would fall together. But I absolutely adored this first line where you started us off in this, because it was a wonderful a note to begin on. You know, it was that envelope and that a note to you and my cursive hand or her cursive hand, however you want to word it at that point. And I thought, God, what a great intro to the whole, you know, bit about I'll meet you there, you know, or meet me there. And, you know, and your lines were wonderful throughout. They were such a great balance to mine, and I thought, geez, you know, this is really going someplace, and I liked it, and it didn't take as long to do it, which made it even better. You know, it wasn't something that had to be stressed over or forced. It just kind of came natural, I think, which was nice.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, you know, her words, a gift I want to repay, soft skin to touch and kiss. My tongue is Cupid's arrow hitting its mark. I thought that was just a neat line. It just came, you know, I don't know. Well, you know, you pluck things out of the air and go, yes. And I go, okay, yeah, I can see it. It works. You know, and her form, fair and wonderful, guilt and desires do, an alchemy of enchantment. The ambrosia and aphrodisiac joined as one. I thought that was neat, too. They're wonderful descriptors of, you know, the image, the prompt. And I thought that was great, you know. But I
did like that prompt.
Which one? The picture. I know you like that
picture.
Which
one? I love that prompt.
Yeah, the prompt is really good. It's and the funny thing is I've had this prompt floating around for a long time. When I did up the schedule for who was doing the art of seduction on which week, what day, whatever, it was funny because I grabbed this picture and I put it up in the topic board over in the speakeasy. So I see it a lot. I'm like, when I read the prompts, the roommate prompts, I'm like, image, you have to have at least one image. And I said, you know what? I have the image. And I went over and grabbed it and I said, yeah, I think that'll work. So it was kind of fun putting them together. But I really think that this turned out well. And I couldn't imagine doing this with anyone else that would make it work so nice, you know. You have a wonderful voice in our work. I like that very much. Absolutely. Yeah. That's my take on it. And I appreciate you writing with me very much. Okie doke. Well, I guess I will grab the next one. Unless you have something else you'd like to speak about. Make me pinch you. Okay. Next piece I'm going to put up. The Sexiest Secret by Eric Spencer. Okay, I have audio for that. So let me hit that button.
The Sexiest Secret. Down in Dodge, where dreary Judge Dredd oft whines, do right by me, by me, by me. I elope gazelle light, flight of fancy, enough of three blind mice diced upon hamster treadmills. Beyond, yet closer than my skin, I Kevin Costner in my field of dreams, surrounded not by cobbed corn grenades, but flamboyance upon flamboyance of pink flamingos, copycats, head upside down, we explore the quantum field, strain muddy, ruddy, muck and mire for clarity's alacrity. In our waddle wake, pink lotus flowers festoon upon flooded cobalt blue salt pan surface moon. Stilted legs accommodate minds no longer stymied. Cordially, we invite you to our field of dreams. Come, dip, pity, do, 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 come along. Closer than your skin, clair de lune tickles away prickly pear fear. Tweak your mind dial. Feel a radiant heart smile exfoliate all worry. Come tarry ya unhurried in pink flamingo flamboyance. Abscond beyond right and wrong, imbibe the new planetary wave. Rumi's field is now superimposed on Judge Dredd's duality reality. Reason still reticent? Refute, refire, reboot. Same eye that dotes on the sparrow adores you, chum. What's that, John? Drink love, not Lennon's cough syrup, mate. Delta Dawn, I immediately replace faded rose with pink geraniums. End poems.
Great job, Eric. I love that. You know, what's that, John? Drink love, not Lennon's cough syrup, mate. Delta Dawn and immediately replace faded rose. I gotta say, that made me chuckle. You all right, Laurent? I have to say that.
I am now. I had aspirin. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah, we'll have no more of that. That's dangerous.
No. Well, what do you think of the sexiest secret?
I really liked it. Eric has such a way of writing, and I say it every time. He, between his references and his different angles on things, I'm just always kind of amazed by it. I elope gazelle-like, fancy, flight of fancy. Enough of these blind mice diced upon hamster treadmills. Like, oh my gosh, no, okay. That kind of cracked me up at the beginning. But I was seeing, beyond yet closer than my skin, I, Kevin Costner, in my field of dreams, surrounded not by cobbed corn grenades. It's just personality written into it that I really have to say it made me smile. And then cordially, we invite you to our field of dreams. Come zippity doo doo doo, come along. Closer than your skin, Claire de Lune, tickles away, prickly pear fear. He's like in it. To me, it's abstract because I'm not sure what all the references are. Some of them I guess, some of them I don't. But I think that it was clever and it was well put together. And, and Rumi got in here, a couple stanzas down from that. And I think that it was pretty clever. Rumi's feel is now superimposed on Judge Dredd's duality reality. Okay?
Duality reality. That better not be food.
Hey, pretty good. It's entertaining, definitely, and a lot of fun. So, yes, great job, Eric, and thank you so much for sharing with us. And, hey, always thank you for the audio. And, Laurent, what did you think about this piece by Eric?
Well, I was a little taken aback by the complexity, I must admit. And so some nights, I don't care how complicated, how lyrical, how metaphorical his poetry is, I get it, and I get it hard. Some nights, I don't know why, I look at the words and they mean less and less in terms of grasping an overall theme from it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This seems to be go ahead.
I was going to say, sometimes his references all mesh together so very tightly. And it makes it a little easier. Trust me, there's times.
Well, I do see horses in this. I do see horses in this. And if you see horses, you got to see riders and et cetera.
Right.
So, it's not that far-fetched.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think it was a good piece. I really do. I was highly entertained by his references throughout and how he kind of pulls them in and together. Even though they're very distant from one another, he still kind of pulls them in, makes it work somehow. And I find that intriguing.
Right.
But the last one with the Delta Dawn line, I'm like, okay, sure. Not a problem. So, it makes me want to sing the song and see if I can make it click, as to what exactly he was pointing at. But, I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that to any of you out there in radio land, for sure. I'm much kinder than that, no matter what people say about me. I really liked it. I really I did. And I appreciate the audio so much. It's, it wasn't meant for me. Absolutely. Okay. So now, what I will say is, I gotta go find another poem. I don't know where I'm going, so we're good. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Average White Man, and the name of it is The Garden of Fire. This one's good, and I have an audio for this.
Meet me in the shade of your thoughts, where no divides are manifest. Lay down upon golden threads and earth of granulated bronze. Quaff this wine, black as velvet dreams. Let it lubricate your appetite. Open yourself to me. Spread your limbs like the burning wings of a phoenix. Let the fire consume all doubt. Submit to my probing touch, for I will bring forth the gushing wash of an engorged geyser. You will be the sticky residue running like legs down the sides of the chalice of the night, our bodies soaked in the heady nectar of desire as our inhibitions take flight. Squeeze your tender fruit to my ravenous lips. Nourish me with the musky serum of your love. Proffer your sweat as an elixir from the apothecary of your body. Let secrets shimmer like haze from our lips dripping with honey. Meet me here in this garden of fire. Give yourself to me as we are drenched beside the hidden fountains of lust. This is a seduction. The pyre has been lit. Your armor lay strewn like shredded palms in the wake of a tropical storm. There is no way back to purity for you now.
No way back to purity for you now. That is evil.
Yeah.
No, if you want to discuss the way people think about sex, it's amazing how many of them find it evil. You know, the Puritan has ruined this country completely. And they've been over here to start it. But I don't know. They enslaved and warred with Indians. And they took beautiful sentiments and kind of twisted them in that way. It's a great poem. What did you think?
Oh, I thought this was really nicely done. You know, I loved this part here. I guess maybe it is the very beginning. Meet me in the shade of your thoughts, where no divides are manifest. Lay down upon golden threads and earth of granulated bronze. Quaff this wine, black as velvet dreams. Let it lubricate your appetite. Open yourself to me. Spread your limbs like the burning wings of a phoenix. I thought that was just really wonderful writing right there. I enjoyed the thought of it. How he put it together, and there really wasn't a bad line in the whole darn thing, you know, and but that really caught my eye because I loved that how it all unfolded right there. That I have to say, you know, you will be the sticky residue running like legs down the sides of a chalice of the night, a body soaked in the heady nectar of desire. You know, I mean, again. Beautifully done. I like the elixir from the apothecary of your body. But that was a nice line. There's just a ton of nice lines throughout, and I enjoyed that. But I did like the end of this. This is a seduction. The pyre has been lit. You're more like slim, like shredded palm in the wake of a tropical storm. There's no way back to purity for you now. In other words, yep, no turning around, and you're going to change your way of thinking. And I'm going to make sure that happens. I don't know. I just thought it was just very well put together and clever. And I liked the lines throughout. And I thought it was, I don't know, it was just, it was pretty seductive. Let's put it that way. And yeah, nice work. So thank you, Average White Man. Now, Laurent, what do you want to say?
Yes.
Well, but you asked me. That's why I started to do this, really.
Yeah. Garden of Fire Adult. He reads really well, number one. And I had seen his poetry kind of off to the side for, you know, some time, and I just hadn't had the opportunity to read it, but when I hear him read, I'm very impressed, and I'm also impressed by his writing. I find it very skillful. Open yourself to me. Spread your limbs like the burning wings of a phoenix. Let the fire consume all doubt. Our bodies soaked in the heady nectar of desire as our inhibitions take flight. You know, he doesn't mince words. He definitely describes what he wants to describe, but the metaphors and the way he does it take it from, you know, potentially dangerous language down to something that I think anybody can handle. Nourish me with the musky serum of your love. Prefer your sweat as an elixir in the apothecary of your body. And that's very clever, the apothecary, which is a medieval pharmacy, if you will. That makes sense.
That is right.
Hidden fountains of lust. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay. Let's come back over here. Okay, you're up. Well,
yes.
I have one thing. Actually, I have a few, but we're going to go here for it. The piece I'm going to put up right now is called Morning Tide Clears the Beach by Thomas B. So, when you are ready, it is there. Hello. Laurent?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I put that piece up by Thomas B., so whenever you're ready.
All right. Morning Tide Clears the Beach by Thomas B. Languishing on the pages of your planner, as tides rise and hours are consumed, winds blow sand along the dunes of jobs, still waiting for a checkmark accomplishment. Horrid temperatures press down upon the day. Sunlight strikes the curtain cracks, showing the chair covered in yesterday's closet doors closed again tomorrow. Rather than swirl through a plethora of sorrows, my fingers suggest we resist. Let shadows play so sunlight dawn's colors and history become dreams, letting us stretch into the present. You wake like an early light, striving to not get lost in the misty grays draped over the lawn. Rising, you press against me as if to find a safe place where we become one and function in a new life form. I never tire of discovering the shape of you. Freshness of movements, sensuality. You awaken like the day before us. I feel light. Warm strength combines to create electricity. I love every morning where you are the shoals. Light slides across, and you whisper a stirring, leading me to dream of flight. Wings spread, hovering on updrafts, soaring until you fill my arms and poem.
Great read, Laurent. Great read. This is a beautiful poem. And it says, the breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. But I think that this was pretty much written to his wife, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but that's what I see. And I love this. You wake like an early light, striving to not get lost in the misty grays draped over the lawn. Rising, you press against me as if to find a safe place where we become one and function as a new life form. I never tire of discovering your shape, the freshness of movement, the sensuality. You awaken like the day before us. I feel light. Warmth combines to create electricity. I love every morning where you are the shoal. Light slides across, and you whisper a story, leading me, the dream of flight, wings spread, hovering on updraft, soaring until you fill my arms. I think that's just beautiful. And I know there was a lot of things to go ahead and, you know, repeat, but I think that they really set each other well. You know, the stanzas just into each other, and I think it was just beautiful. So wonderful, wonderful piece by Thomas. What did you think of it, Laurent?
I liked it a great deal. This is he doesn't always write poems exactly like this. It's sensual. I mean, I adore the penultimate stanza. I never tire of discovering the shape of you. That is a great one. The freshness of movements. When it's a new relationship and you haven't locked in to all the little quirks of your partner, the freshness of movements can be very stimulating, especially if the movements are different from what you're used to, which one always hopes for. The sensuality you awaken like the day before us is a very nice simile. I feel light, warmth, strength combines to create electricity, and that's essential. Mm-hmm. Got to be electricity between the couple, otherwise it doesn't work. And, it's nicely done. It really is. Thomas Lee is a class act. He's got great ball. And this
absolutely.
Is nice.
That's a great take on the part. Absolutely. Just wonderful work. Thomas Ben Wright, that is for sure. It's been a while since he joined any of our contests, or my contest, I shouldn't say everybody else. And it was wonderful to see his name on the list. Okay. So, let me
So, what are you going to sew?
So, buttons on a grasshopper. What else would I sew?
That's a toughie.
Yeah, well, you know. We all have our specialties, I guess.
Poor Cricket.
Well, you know, he might have needed some buttons. You never know. Anyway, the next piece I'm going to put up is called An Epistle by Mabella. And July 19th, 2023, an epistle. Anonymous. It was that moment that made that time complex yet bewildering. I have no problem engaging in such an act, for I am no longer coupled to anyone. And yet you managed to make every fiber in my hair shy away from me. I remember watching you bemused how the hues of my eyes ever changing as you gently stroked my flaming flesh. Your breathless voice couldn't hide the hungry beast inside of you, and I can't stop imagining our shadows bathing under the begrudging moon. I hid away with pieces of you lingering inside my confused thoughts. I know it wasn't deep affection for me, not yet. And pardon me, Erish, for saying this, but all I wanted was to know your eyes, the taste of your dewy lips, to study the shapes of your pores, and to memorize your gentle strokes. Now I imagine finding myself in my bed, remembering your moist caresses, and blushing at the thought of your playful dancing fingertips between my hips. Now I wonder, do you think in our next encounter, will it make Christine Gray jealous after witnessing me whispering your keen appellation? Or will it make Anastasia wish she was the one uttering indecent whispers with saint-like eyes gazing at my God's lips? What's more interesting is what is playing in my head right now. The insatiable scenes I unconsciously played that make Rumi start writing seductive literature while trying to not expose them using his graceful wet muscle. I'll see you soon.
Nicely done. You're welcome.
Interesting. You want to start it off?
No, I want you to.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I can do that. I just don't want to talk you to sleep there. I thought it was covered at the beginning. I liked how it was written to anonymous. I thought that was kind of intriguing right from the get-go. But, you know, the fact that she has no, no problem engaging in it, actually. She's no longer coupled with him. I remember watching you beneath how the tears from my eyes have retained me as you gently stroked my flaming flesh. And there, she's making my eyes change colors.
Is that right?
Speaking of your breath and voice, couldn't hide the hunger deep inside of you. And I can't stop imagining our shadows bathing under the dredging moon. Nice. You know, I like the reference too. I hid away the pieces of you lingering inside my confused thoughts. That was pretty good. I like that. All I wanted was to familiarize the taste of your dewy lips and study the shapes of your pores. And to memorize your dental shape. Yes. Nice. But I think that it really is, I like to reference to Christian Grey. I thought that was, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. I thought that was kind of interesting as well. Or will it make Anastasia wish she was the one uttering the decent vocals? Saint-like eyes gazing at my God, Priapus. Yeah. But I really got an absolute kick out of that last little bit. What's more interesting is what is playing in my head right now. The insatiable scene I unconsciously played will make women start writing seductive literature while trying to knot a cherry's gum using his graceful web. Really, really good. Well, I hope you write it down 26 feet. That would be really interesting. I don't know. I thought it was great. I thought it was, it had a lot of things going on in it, but I thought it was clever and well done, Bella, for writing this for us. I thought it was clever and it was intriguing. So, excellent job. Now, Laurent, it's your turn.
Yes, it is my turn.
It is your turn. Everybody needs a turn.
It's been a while. It's been a while since I read Bella. She's got a very nice pace in her pieces, and she writes prose very well. I hid away with pieces of you, lingering inside my confused thoughts. I know it wasn't deep affection for me, not yet. And pardon me, Eros, for saying this, but all I wanted was to familiarize the taste of your dewy lips, to study the shapes of your pores, to memorize your gentles. That is very provocative writing, beautifully laid out. So she gets her point across in a beautiful little story. Doesn't have to be a poem. And it is poetic. It's a very nice prose poetry, I guess we'd call it. I like this piece. We should see more like it. Those last lines, the insatiable scenes that unconsciously played, will make Rumi start writing seductive literature while trying to knot a cherry stem using his graceful wet muscle. That's pretty strong stuff.
Serious stuff there. Yep. Absolutely. Okay, Laurent. What a great comment, by the way. Very, very good. Now, the next piece
of
the this is a piece by Poetic Havre. And let's see. Okay, whenever you are ready, it is up. This is called Ride of All Rides by Poet of the Cover.
Poet, Ride of All Rides. I had invited you to the farm, but I got one hell of a shock. Came in from the paddock. You were on the chopping block. Got down from my horse. But I was living a dream. You were naked as a jaybird, loveliest sight at it. I beg your pardon. I got a lot of burping for this here. You were naked as a jaybird, loveliest sight I've ever seen. coughed and sputtered a bit as you beckoned me over. Gently you slid off the block and down out of the soft clover. I was all hot and sweaty, but you didn't seem to care. Could tell you couldn't wait, wanted me right then and there. "Take me, big boy," you said, and dropped the horse's rein. Started to undress quickly. Wouldn't need asking again. You grabbed my belt buckle. On top of you, I did a lustily fall. There was no time to waste. Went in at first, boots and all. Was me wearing the boots, but still I was wearing a big grin. You were riding me bareback and really digging the spurs in. Your lovemaking was hectic, frantic, mind-blowing and intense. By the time you were finished, this cowboy was completely spent. But off into the house you went, said, "Come to bed if you're able." Rising slowly to my feet, I replied, soon as I put my horse in the stable. "Tell you, sweetheart, I've ridden horses over mountains and through great divides, but nothing compared to the night that you took me on the ride." End poem. Great piece. Bravo, Poeta. I like this
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
He really, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I liked it. Go ahead, honest, go ahead and comment.
He takes us out on a small journey. A very enjoyable one at that. Here we have a guy and he can't handle the woman. He's used him up. When lovemaking is hectic, frantic, mind-blowing, and intense, you know, you're pouring every bit of energy into it. And when you're done, it can be difficult to move. It really can be. So when the line came, "Come to bed if you're able," I had to smile because I might not have been. You never know on these things. But as a habit of throwing together a charming piece that just brings smiles. Doesn't have to have any great meaning. It's well written, entertaining, it's fun. You know, a little levity never hurts. He handles humor quite well. I did enjoy this.
I think you did a good job penning to the prompt for sure. Again, the prompt was prompt number one, which is the girl in the tree stump. So he really did a good job with it. I thought it was a full story. It was a great story poem. I love his rhyme and meter always. You know, I don't think I've ever seen one that didn't quite work. And you can't help but have it make you smile, you know. Then off into the house you went, said, "Come to bed if you're able." Rising slowly to my feet, I replied, "Soon as I put my horse in the stable." You know, like, yep. Now that's a true kind of cowboy. "Wait, I got to tend the horse first, and then I'll be there." You know, it takes some restraint.
Right.
You know, I thought it was great. I have to say, you know, I smiled like I always do. Poeta, excuse me, always has some kind of a, I don't know, he tends to put up something that will give you a smile, whether it's full humor or if it's just something that's a little, you know, a little cheeky. I like it. I like it very much. So thank you so much, Poeta, for sharing with us. I did love this piece. I thought it was funny. You know, and, you know, like I say, you met the prompt, and I think you ran with it. So well done, and good for you, you know. Yeah, so I must enjoy it. And thank you very much. Yeah. Two more left. We might just get this finished tonight. That's amazing. Well, thank you. The next piece I'm going to read is by Talia R. And yeah, I got to make sure I don't mess up here. Yeah. Okay. Talia R. Say Yes by Talia R. In our Garden of Eden, I feel free, falling in love as easy as 1, 2, 3. our art room is full of color, and I want us to experience every last one. Light, camera, action. Let the fun begin. Scene one. I get naked for your eyes only. This garden is really pretty and serene. You are my master, Adam, and I am your servant, Eve. You took my hands and we danced. This led us to the Gandhi River. There was so much beauty around. You then took my hand and led me to the promised land. This is really heaven on earth. The beauty was so enchanting. Enticing, it was like I was under your spell. I was your puppet on a string. And you took me to a whole new world singing. Because I still say to you again, darling, for you, I'd be over and over again. And so on.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. That was a great read, by the way. It's funny that if I can call them women's livers, please excuse the phrasing, but it's what's in my head right now. We get really irritated with this poem because of that one line where Eve describes herself as the servant, and Adam the master. You know, they would look at that and just launch into an explanation of parity between the sexes. But the way that it's written, it's largely inoffensive. And, you know, it's for the sake of the poem that she says that. And that's all right, then. I don't mind it. Although it gave me a raised eyebrow initially. I like the shape of this. The form is nice. I think it does better in the middle of the page, this particular one, than on the left line, which makes it look so officious. The beauty was so enchanting, enticing. It was like I was under your spell. I was your puppet on a string, and you took me to a whole new world, singing, because I still say to you again, darling, for you, I do over and over again. Sounds good. Is that the case?
Yeah.
Nice piece. Nice sentiments. I enjoyed it.
Right. It's funny because, you know, we didn't get scene two. We only got scene one. That could be continued somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed the story that she told you. And I thought it was very well done. And, you know, yeah, there's always somebody who's going to gripe about something or, you know, you are my master, Adam, and I'm your servant. And, you know, that's it. You know, it's not for everybody, but you know what? I would just love to have a man just be in charge. you just take charge. I'm tired of stuff. Including the more in anybody. You know, I mean, really.
Right.
Because you have to have people. You know, you have to have a certain element of trust in someone in order to turn everything over. And that doesn't happen easy. So I say, if you can, more power to you. That's what I say.
The sad part is that sometimes you extend the trust and it's betrayed.
I totally missed that. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. It wasn't much, so
yeah.
It wasn't germane to the conversation. Let's put it that way. So why don't we just take it right back to
you? I'm off the topic too. So I mean, but I just when you said that, that's what it made me think of. But you know, scene one. I get naked for your eyes only. The garden is really pretty and serene. You are my master, Adam, and I am your servant. You took my hands and we danced. This led us to the Ungendi River, where we took our bath and explored the shore. There's so much beauty around. You then took my hand and led me to the promised land. This is really heaven on earth. I think that's really like me. That's the meat and potatoes of it. And what's above it and below it is kind of like, yeah, okay. But I think this is like the beauty that was intended by the poem itself. So it was just really well done, nicely penned. And enjoyable. So I thank you very much. You know, Matt Stewart was prompt one. Again, the woman in the tree film. So she brought out a lot of stuff in everybody, it seems. And And Lauren, I have one more for you. And this is a piece by Richard E. Thomas. So, here we go. And here, and here. So, whenever you're ready, it's up. It's called Innocent Love by Richard E. Thomas.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. What are we doing now, my dear?
Yeah,
what are we doing now?
Well, I put that piece up for you called Innocent Love by Richard E. Thomas. And when
all right.
you are ready, we are waiting for your voice.
Innocent Love. As I walked through the enchanting woods, in the sun-kissed opening ahead, there she lay, innocent and naked, on this tree stump where angels tread. Her body glowing with sun-kissed rays, turned her head and spoke, "My darling, I have been waiting a while." The image of that moment was broke. She beckoned me over with a simple smile, turning her gaze back to the sky. I approached her, intrigued by her beauty. It was the first time I'd noticed my wife for a while. I then remembered that moment we shared, our seduction that lasted for years, a simple, innocent moment of love, only to be refreshed in a memory of tears. End pause.
Nicely done. Yeah, what a nice piece. His imagery was good in this piece, I have to say. And I loved, as I walked through the enchanting woods and the sun-kissed opening ahead, there she lay, innocent and naked, in the tree stump where angels tread. What a beautiful little stanza to start this all off. And I have to say, I like that very much. And then, you know, the next stanza was equally, you know, nice. But then she beckoned me over with a simple smile, turning her gaze back to the sky. I approached her, intrigued by her beauty. It was the first time I'd noticed my wife for a while. I thought that was a nice line there. You know, it's like that, I don't, how would I say it, Laura? Come on, help me out.
Say what?
It's kind of like a door opening, you know, like he's approached, you know, and he approached her and he was intrigued by her beauty. And it's the first time he noticed her in a while. I think the door opens and you see something for like the first time in a long time. It's captivating.
I'm not sure.
Not exactly what the word
is. Yeah, well, captivating works. Sure.
Yeah. And then I like the last stanza. I then remembered that moment we shared, how her seduction had lasted for years. A simple, innocent moment of love, only to be refreshed in my memory. You know, I'm not sure if it was tears of happiness because it was renewed or how to take that. But I think that it was a lovely ending. That touch of emotion there, I think, was really well placed and nicely written piece. So I want to thank you, Richard E. Thomas. I haven't read your work before, but I hope you'll share with us again soon. And Laurent? What do you have to say?
I like this, especially the ending. A simple, innocent moment of love, only to be refreshed in my memory with tears. It would seem to me that he is remembering an incident and that he may be alone in life now. I'm not sure why else he would have to refresh me. It shouldn't bring tears, and I don't think it would be tears of happiness either. Oh, off my mind it then. I don't know. I just get the feeling that it means something else, you know?
Yeah, it's possible.
Oh, yeah, it is. Of course, it wouldn't be difficult to remember that, given the circumstances and what you saw. You're going to remember it, and you're going to remember it well. Innocent and naked on the tree stump, your angels. That's a nice line. nice tree stump. It would be my favorite tree stump. It has a certain allure about it, a certain je ne sais quoi going.
Right.
I'm being facetious, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great. I really like it. We got something else to put up on the board, Laura? We have 8 minutes. No more poems.
Oh, Lord, really? I can throw one up if you like. Why don't you take 2 minutes and run over some radio program upcomings, and I'll grab some real quick.
Absolutely. We have, let's see, today is Wednesday. The show for tonight, Parts and Parts, had been postponed. Faziana is not feeling well tonight, so move that show forward. We have also tomorrow, Thursday, we have Richard Weissman and Laurent will be doing an art craft and selling art, followed by Breakline True with Sam Wright. I'm not sure. Richard's show is someone Conrad, and Laurent's busy, so I can't get him to tell me. And then after that, we'll have Fill My Eyes in Company with Poetry, again, followed by Once Upon a Time with Dexter Bailey.
There you
go.
Bravo.
So,
are you going to, did you check the room?
I just saw that, and I was wondering, I guess we can do that if you prefer. It's up to you.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, she made the effort. It's
okay,
welcome.
On the Friday board.
This is Teresa Streschen, Paul.
Yes. Time for this passionate time by Teresa Streschen. Okay.
Time for this passionate time. Come over here. Come hither now. Take a seat as I take a bow. I turn around and retrieve a blindfold, as well as my pair of handcuffs. As I begin to remove some of my clothes and help you take off all of yours, I see that already someone arose. Time for me to slide off the rest of my clothes. I turn on some slow jams and turn down the light. Now get ready for one hell of a night. Have you lie down on your stomach and spread sensual oils over your back, massaging down your backside as I make my way from your neck all the way to your feet. You roll over, you roll back over on your back, somewhere on the middle of your knees. For this night of passion and release can begin. Turning off all the lights and music, time for the foreplay and lustful behavior. Now use your imagination where this is going to go. End poem.
Oh,
well,
what a
tease. That's the first poem I've seen by her.
Yes. Nice job, Teresa. A great vision to the show. I'm glad you got it to us. Because I haven't put up any poems from the contest since the show started. So, I think that this is a clever piece. It was fun. I wanted to say a tease of sorts, but I'm not exactly sure what word I was going for. But it was clever, and it was intriguing, enticing. Enticing is a good word, because it is a tease going through this. Come over here. Come hither now. Take a seat as I take a bow. I turn around and retrieve a blindfold as well as my pair of handcuffs. They'll get them started. Yeah, I think. As I begin to remove some of my clothes and help take off all of you, I see that already someone arose. Time for me to slide off the rest of my clothes. Nicely done, Teresa. Great piece and a lot of fun. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, I am right. right here. Time for this passionate fun. I thought you did a nice job with this. I enjoyed the blindfold, the pair of handcuffs, the slow jams, turning down the lights, and getting the atmosphere correct. Can't beat that. And now it was time for the night of passion and release to begin. Turning off the lights and the music certainly helps you get right in the mood. Sometimes it's fun to do it with the lights on, but, you know, I like it with the lights off, too. Because then there's a little bit of mystery. You never know where the hand is going to come from or something else is going to come from. It's just a costume in the middle of it all. I thought she did a very nice job of this. Thank you, Teresa.
Absolutely. And, so excellent job. And thank you, Teresa. Very, very, very nice job here. So we have 90 seconds left. So I want to thank you for co-hosting with me tonight. And, being the head commenter, head leader, and co-host, being many hats tonight. And
Chief cook and bottle washer, right? Well, there's only one of me.
That's right. Exactly. And I think I saw you peeling potatoes with your toes while we were at it. You're maybe doing a good job there.
Good talent is jealous, I'm telling you.
So I have heard. But it was a great show with lots of great poetry, and I really enjoyed it. And thank you everyone who entered the contest and shared the work. And it was a pleasure to read it, and I really enjoyed it. And Milan, what do you have to say? What's up for tomorrow? What's the topic for Richard's show? I know it's somebody Conrad. I just can't think of his first name.
The Heart of Darkness, which is one of Conrad's books, and the particular character whose name escapes me. Excuse me. What?
I said, does Conrad have a first name?
Joseph Conrad.
Okay, that's it. I remember. Yeah. It looked like a great contest. So anyone who's interested, take a peek at the board. I'm sure it's up with the contest link. And, we're looking forward to seeing your poetry there as well. And, Laurent, I'm sure you'll be rocking and rolling on that show, too. Thanks for hanging with me tonight.
My pleasure.
Good night, everyone. And good night. Everyone has a great night.